Currently, in northern Arizona, there is a movement growing that addresses the rights Native Americans have to their traditional land. The Holy San Francisco Peaks are considered to be a sacred site to over 13 tribes. What is happening on the San Francisco Peaks is that Snowbowl, a private ski resort that operates during the winter season, wants to expand their business to function year-round, requiring them to produce fake snow the rest of the year. One of the problems with Snowbowl's plans to produce fake snow, aside from exploiting sacred land for the sake of recreation and profit, is that they intend to do it with reclaimed wastewater sold to them by the city of Flagstaff. Not only does this bring up issues of how the state disregards Native culture and practice, it also brings up potential environmental hazards and puts community health at risk. Snowbowl's development plans include clear-cutting 74 acres of rare alpine habitat that is home to several threatened species, making new runs and lifts, adding more parking lots, and building a 14.8-mile buried pipeline to transport wastewater up the mountain to create the artificial snow, which would cover over 200 acres. Although organizers took a legal route by filing an injunction against Snowbowl to halt development, it was denied in March of this year, prompting Snowbowl to move forward with their plans. By the end of May, Snowbowl, with the support of the United States Forest Service, had begun clear-cutting the forest and laying out the wastewater pipeline. On June 16, 2011, a direct action took place to protest Snowbowl and to further prevent the development of the mountain. In a protest that consisted of over a dozen people, six locked themselves to excavators and other heavy machinery and to each other while sitting in the pipeline trench. Although protesters taking part in the direct action were later arrested, this action was one of the few that would take place throughout the summer in order to save the San Francisco Peaks. Shortly after, an encampment was set up in order to continue protesting the desecration of this sacred site, as well as maintain presence on the mountain and bear witness to the development. The base camp, known as the Cook Shack, was set up in late July and established four goals: to be visibly and actively in resistance to corporate greed, state violence, environmental destruction, and spiritual desecration; to not allow ourselves or others to look away; to bear witness to the atrocities being committed against the environment, indigenous people, and community health, as well as bear witness to the resilience and power of the people; to support other encampments and affinity groups by providing access to available food, gear, first aid, information, and other supplies being offered and dropped off by the supporters and community members. We will be transporting donations from drop-off places in Flagstaff to the Cook Shack base camp. To answer the calls to stop construction and desecration and to stand with people past and present fighting to protect the peaks and all sacred places. I spoke with Ned, who is part of the Cook Shack and a supporter of the movement to save the San Francisco Peaks. While preparing for an event that would take place on the mountain, I asked Ned to speak about some of the history behind the movement to save the peaks, and also to discuss a week of action that was called for in the month of August.
The Holy San Francisco Peaks are sacred to 13 indigenous nations in the Southwest, and when construction started in May of this year, with all the effort and the struggle for over a decade now to stop them from putting reclaimed wastewater up on the Holy San Francisco Peaks and doing any kind of expansion or development or construction, the call really came from a very clear need to stop Snowbowl and their hired crew of workers from further desecrating, from further destroying this beautiful and pristine mountain, for multiple reasons, for cultural, for cultural rights of indigenous people, for environmental safety and protection, and for public health, and so really the call to action came June 16th, when six people locked down to each other and to an excavator to not only bring awareness of the devastation that Snowbowl is creating up on the Holy San Francisco Peaks, but also to stop them, to tell them this isn't right, but this is where we draw the line. And that now that we've drawn the line, you better expect that you're going to be faced with resistance every single step of the way, and that this struggle isn't over, that just because you created a deep gash in the earth doesn't scare us. It doesn't stop us from taking action. And so really, a lot of the efforts that are currently happening are due to the people who took action on June 16th, earlier this summer. And so through that, in really trying to figure out how we were going to win, how we're going to win the protection of this mountain, because we will win, a group of supporters from all over Arizona, a lot of young folks and a lot of allies and a lot of anarchists came together to specifically address the issue of protecting the peaks from any further destruction and desecration. And one of the ideas was to go camp there, to allow people a space where they can come and interact with the mountain in a way where they can see its beauty, but also see the destruction and bear witness and call it as it is, and make sure that people don't turn a blind eye to this desecration, and make sure that it doesn't go unseen and unheard, and so that we can together mobilize our communities to fight for the protection of the Holy San Francisco Peaks. And so through the camping and through the bearing witness and through the testimonies of people who were coming through every day for a couple weeks, that group of folks realized that there was a need to come together as communities and make sure that the spirit that was ignited on June 16th continued, and that resistance was present and prevailed, so that Snowball and the U.S. Forest Service and the USDA and the city of Flagstaff and the Obama administration understand that this mountain is worth taking risks for, that the protection of indigenous culture and spirituality, that public health and environmental protection are important issues for our generation now and for future generations to come. And so that those individuals, these campers, these folks who've been were bearing witness and doing all this work, decided to really bring it to public and to do it in a way where we could also stop the construction, right? Bring awareness of the construction. And so in affinity groups formed, and there was different demonstrations that occurred. From the August 4th through the 9th, there were everything from picketing outside of the U.S. Forest Service and bringing public attention to standing outside of City Hall and making sure that tourists and locals and the city council knew that, you know, they are also responsible for this cultural genocide, and that they can take power as well and or use their power to make decisions that ultimately will protect the community and the Holy San Francisco Peaks, but also to publicly demonstrate in the city of Flagstaff to show not the numbers but the spirit. And that's what we did. So we called for this week of action from 4th through the 9th for people from everywhere, but specifically Arizona, to come and to share in this resistance with us. And part of that were these affinity groups who decided to, or one particular who decided to stop the construction. And on August 8th, nine people did a blockade of Snowball Road and stopped workers successfully for over 8 hours from accessing any of the pipeline or the clear cutting. And so for 8 hours, it wasn't business as usual. And attention was brought to the workers, to Snowball, and again, to these entities that I've mentioned, like the Forest Service, like the USDA, and the Obama administration and Snowball, that enough is enough and that you won't go another day desecrating and destroying what is home and what is culture and what is tradition and what is life for so many.
I continued by asking Ned to speak about some of their organizing tactics and why their decentralized methods have greatly contributed to the strength of their movement.
Decentralized organizing is crucial to the empowerment of individuals and communities to take action. when the Cook Shack started, the specific public encampment that I'm part of and others are part of, and from where the Week of Action sprung from, it was very intentional for us as a lot of us as anarchists and young folks to come together and decide that we respect and value a diversity of tactics, and that as part of valuing and respecting a diversity of tactics, it's crucial to the vibrancy and the effectiveness of that to also understand and support decentralized organizing and action. And the importance of that is so that you can bring in people into the fold who are newer. You can bring into the fold folks who maybe stepped off for a few years. You can have different communities who are interacting with this issue in very different ways, right? So you have everything from mothers. We had a lot of mothers. We had pregnant people camping with us who were part of helping and supporting these actions and the Week of Action. And you also had people who were there because they firmly believe this is cultural genocide. And you had folks who were there because they want to protect the animal life and the plant life up on the mountain. And so decentralized action actually creates unity by accepting each other's differences and understanding and accepting each other's opinions in a way that's cohesive, in a way that is dynamic. Whereas if, you know, we were to decide what the message was all the time, or if we were to decide what the actions were, then it's limited.
I also spoke with other supporters of the movement to save the San Francisco Peaks. Ceja and Marcos both reside in Southern California's San Fernando Valley. The both of them answered the call out from the Cook Shack and took the trip to Flagstaff to participate in the Week of Action that took place from August 4th to the 9th. I caught up with them as they prepared to return to Flagstaff to continue their support of the encampment.
Well, first of all, when I heard about the fundraisers that they were having here in Los Angeles to get more folks to go to Flagstaff for this Week of Action, I just felt it important for me to be a part of this, just because I know that it's been a movement that has been around for more than 12 years now. I know that the they've been organizing since the late 90s and actually mid 90s to try to expand this resort. And so people have been constantly fighting for it. And so it became an opportunity for me here in Los Angeles to make it a trip to Flagstaff, which is only 7 hours away. And so just because it's been in the movement for so long, I decided that I had to take part of it and definitely learn more and see how I can help.
I have been to Flagstaff in the past, and I had heard stories about this beautiful mountain and the creation stories that, you know, come out of there, and the way that they use that land in a sacred way. And so me finding out that, you know, there's this horrific thing going on down there where people are really putting not only sacred land in jeopardy, but I think the lives of so many people in jeopardy, that I felt that it was necessary for people from LA to show solidarity in that struggle, and to show that we support actions of the sort to defend sacred land and to defend, you know, ultimately human rights. So I think that was the main reason that the three of us went out there.
In order to have a better understanding of the significance of this movement to the people involved, I ask them to address their personal investment to the mountain and why it is they're so committed to saving it from being desecrated. Aside from this movement making moves towards undermining the expansion of private property and capital, there's also a significant environmental factor and a spiritual one as well.
I think maybe the only thing that I would add is a saying that one of the elders mentioned struck me was that she was mentioning that the mountain already knows how to recycle itself, right? And nature already knows how to recycle itself. Mother Earth already does that, right? In terms of every year recycling with the different cycles. And one of the things that she mentioned is that we as humans who are trying to save this sacred space need to learn how to recycle ourselves and our energy as well. And so that was very touching, because one of the things that she said, that in order for our soul to recycle, we need to learn how to let go. And letting go is very difficult sometimes, especially when we're involved in various movements, because, you know, there's just so many things that we want to incorporate that's very difficult, right? So it was just trying to see that connection of, okay, well, Mother Earth, we're fighting for Mother Earth, and Mother Earth already knows how to recycle itself. And we're fighting for the injustices that are happening by human-made laws, you know? And so if we're aware of that, and if we're aware of our own privileges and our own egos and letting go, that we can definitely try to achieve what the mountain is all about. And the mountain, according to them or to the Navajo, is all about happiness. And so in order for you to achieve happiness, you need to learn how to let go and become a better person.
So I decided to go, you know, to the mountain for many reasons, and understanding that defending our land it coincides with defending our human rights. And so going out there, I really didn't know what to expect, but I knew it was going to be an amazing experience. And I can say now that week really changed my life, in a sense where it made me reevaluate the work that I'm doing in my community as well. And to learn from these folks out there who are really just, you know, they're really just fed up with the way that they're treated, and the way that Native people and their land and their way of life is disregarded. And as a Native person myself, you know, it's like we really need to refocus to what is important, and that is our cultura, our stories, and our spirituality, which is connected to the land, because, you know, this mountain is sacred to over 13 tribes out there in Arizona, and people who are just trying to make money off of it, you know, are just not hearing that. And a lot of it with what, you know, what I remember is like, what part of sacred don't you understand? And I remember folks just always re-emphasizing that this is sacred land. This is a place that has been used for thousands of years for, you know, for ceremony, for anything that they needed to use it for. And then now these profiteers are trying to come in and, you know, trying to profit off of sewage water and desecrating the land. And so I felt that this was something that needed to be addressed, that needed to be a struggle that needed to be won, in a sense, so that it can be an example for many other, you know, struggles that are happening across the U.S. And so just coming back from that, it's really, it really humbled me in a huge way, to the point where it's like we were living on the bare minimum, but we were living out in the mountain, in the forest, really beginning this process of decolonizing yourself, because you are so connected to the land out there that you're coming back home to this urban lifestyle, that it's like, damn, do I really need all of these things, all these material things, all of this, you know, do I really need to continue to partake in this consumerist society? And, you know, and so I think it was, in that sense, it really humbled me, but it also really, oh man, it really made me really conscious of how I was living my life as a human being and as a spiritual being, and how I hold myself accountable to the land and to the things that are really, really sacred.
To me, it's very personal. The Holy San Francisco Peaks are a place for healing. I lived in Los Angeles most of my life, and for 25 years until I decided to move here to Flagstaff. And the reason I decided to move here to Flagstaff is because of that mountain and because of the friends and family that I have here who hold this mountain sacred, because they themselves are indigenous to this area and they belong to this mountain. When I was going through a really hard time a couple years ago with issues of domestic violence and just a lot of other things within the queer and trans community there in Los Angeles, this mountain offered harmony and balance and a recentering for me, in where I could reconnect again with what is important in myself and what's valuable and sacred in me, and also what is valuable and sacred in life. And it's time personally for me to give back to this nonsense, to help heal the wound that Snowball's creating, because she helped heal a lot of the wounds that were created, or that were gashed into me, you know, for living, I think, a very difficult life, like so many queer and trans folks of color in urban areas do, you know. And personally, my family's from Mexico, and a lot of the things that I've lived in my life, everything from poverty to loneliness to lack of culture to not knowing what my next steps are, to lack of opportunity, to facing cops every day in every corner of where I live, like all of that is inherently and inseparably connected to colonization. And right now, the Holy San Francisco Peaks are a battleground. The Snowball and the U.S. Forest Service, and specifically the U.S. government, doesn't want to protect sacred sites, doesn't want to protect indigenous people's culture, because it's still part of a war. It's still part of the war against indigenous people, right? They're still trying to take the land. They're still trying to colonize. They're still trying to commit genocide against indigenous people worldwide. And I know for a fact that if things didn't happen the way they did in Mexico, and it's specifically around migration, right? My family moving from there to California, and there being so much of loss of culture, some of the stuff that I've lived around domestic violence issues, around self-love and, you know, or in self-hatred in a lot of cases, wouldn't exist, because we'd have our culture and our traditions intact. And so I don't want to see that perpetuated somewhere else with another indigenous community here in the States. And the reality is, Native Americans are disproportionately affected by the prison industrial complex. They're disproportionately affected by poverty. They're disproportionately affected by disease, by, you know, health crisis. And to then on top of that have a place that is crucial to the spiritual and cultural survival of these indigenous nations being destroyed. I mean, two Hopi ceremonial sites have already been completely decimated. They're not usable. That is cultural genocide. And we know as indigenous people from all over the world that if you destroy our cultures, if you destroy our ways of life, right, whether you're from South America or North America or wherever, that is genocide, and that leads to all the problems that we're currently facing here in the United States.
The Cook Shack and the encampment to save the San Francisco Peaks will continue. As of now, the construction taking place on the mountain is scheduled to be completed in October. Find out how you can help the movement and prevent Snowball from reaching their goal by visiting the following websites: truesnow.org, indigenousaction.org, and survivalsolidarity.wordpress.com. You can also email them and ask them directly at the following email: ptpcookshack@gmail.com. The decentralized organizing approach being taken by those fighting to save the peaks serves as just one model that can be used to counter the state's effort to privatize sacred land. Folks on the mountain are calling for people to join them. If you believe in native rights, community health, and environmental rights, then they are calling you to join their legal encampment and support in any way possible. Whether you can donate camping supplies, spend time on the mountain, or just spread word about their struggle, those of us native to this continent know that the fight against colonialism has been a long one, and the fight to save the Holy San Francisco Peaks is just one of those battles in that long fight.